Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you're a Disney Plus subscriber and you're watching The Mandalorian, Jack and I have a podcast for you.
Every week, we'll discuss the latest episode of The Mandalorian and talk about other great content and maybe some not so great content on Disney Plus as well.
As two lifelong Star Wars fans, we have a ton of fun geeking out over all the little details of the show, and we want you to join us every Monday.
So search for Disney Plus Reviews. That's Disney P-L-U-S Reviews. Hey, Phil, how about that Baby Yoda? Baby Yoda says, "What's a podcast?"
Family Broadcasting Corporation, in association with the Studio DNA Podcast Network, presents What Else with Corey Mann, an interview podcast with your favorite artists. Here's your host, Corey Mann.
Welcome to episode 85 of What Else. My guest is Torrin Wells. You were born smack dab in the middle, or close to the middle, of what I think is the greatest decade in music. Would you agree?
I think so. I mean, the 90s were pretty strong in the hip-hop and R&B space, but there was some great rock and roll in the 80s. And also the 90s country. Hard to beat 90s country.
Now, I did not think I would hear that coming from you. Please go on with that. that's unfamiliar to me, so I don't know. I mean, who are you talking?
I mean, I'm talking songs. I'm talking like Garth Brooks, 90s. I'm talking one bottle of wine and two Dixie cups, 3 a.m. I fell in love, Tim McGraw, you know.
You listen to that?
Great. Oh, yeah. So I come from a blended family, but my dad, who is African-American, he introduced me to Wynonna Judd and all of that. But my stepdad listened to a lot of country radio. So I was introduced to country radio on that. And then I married a Texan. And so she is always educating me on 90s country. But you can't really beat 90s country and 90s R&B. It's just, it was on another level.
Born in Battle Creek, Michigan.
That's right.
I have such a fond place in my heart for Battle Creek. How long were you there?
Till I was 19. Went to college for 3 years in Indianapolis. Went home for a few months and then moved to Cincinnati and then St. Louis and then Houston. And that's where I've been. But I love Michigan. Try to get back every year.
I may have played a small role in your musical influences, because there was a time I was doing nights at B95, Battle Creek's hottest hits.
That's right. B95. Absolutely.
So some of that early 90s R&B, pop, whatever, yes, that was me delivering it to your radio.
That is so weird. Isn't that weird? Crazy.
Yeah, you just think about the influence you have in your lifetime and who's sitting in your audience at a concert that might be the next or the first fill in the blank. And I'm doing nights and I'm driving from one job to the next, doing afternoons in St. Joe, Michigan, then driving an hour and doing nights in Battle Creek, sitting there exhausted going, is anyone listening to this?
We were. We were, man. That is crazy. We would toggle between B95 and I think it was like 88.3, which was Way FM. You had Nick at Night over there. Crazy.
Hey, how'd you choose Indiana Bible College? I think I met you fresh out of college way back in the day.
Well, it was one of the colleges within our denomination at the time. So there weren't very many options, and it was the best one, mostly known for the music program, which is why I went. So amazing. I mean, some of my best friends to this day are people I met in college. And obviously, I met my wife while I was there as well. So,
and that's where amazing. Royal Taylor originated.
That's right. Playing those college pep rallies.
Oh, DJ and Blake and Torin.
That's right.
I don't know if I ever heard the origin story. Was it in a dorm room and the idea sparked? What was it?
Well, I was in charge of putting together our pep rallies. We didn't have like actual sports. So we did like tournaments and stuff with other schools. And there was like a big weekend that everyone looked forward to where we were playing our rival Bible college. This sounds like a bad Christian movie. So I put together the entertainment for it, and I was thinking, man, it would be dope if we had like a band play this thing. And so I had been writing a couple songs with some friends of mine, and I thought, hey, we'll play it. So we got together, and I got a few guys together, and we brainstormed endlessly for 48 hours for a name. And it was not Royal Taylor. It was actually Red Letter Edition originally. Yeah, terrible. Our drummer was convinced that he came up with that name, but very quickly we went to MySpace and realized that there were already many other Red Letter Editions. So we had to change the name. We changed the name to Royal Taylor. I moved to Cincinnati. The guys finished school. At their graduation banquet, everyone that was a senior was going through saying what they were doing. Well, I'm going to go be a youth pastor in South Dakota. I'm taking a ministry position and blah, blah. And the guys in the band were like, we're going to be in a band and we're going to travel around and see if we can play shows. And you could hear the collective sigh of disappointment from the professors and the ministry leaders, because that's not real ministry at that point. And yeah, that's how we started. Then we all moved to St. Louis. We worked at a church there for a year while we played shows and stuff, and ended up getting signed. And it was quite a journey.
Everybody get ready, cause here we go. Got the flame that's taking over the globe. Yeah, burning through the chains that hold. No matter what your past is, leave it in the ashes. Gonna light it up like it's pyro. Gonna set it off and watch it explode. It's no secret, I know you feel it. We're coming alive. We got that fire. Na 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 na. Yeah. We got that fire. Na 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 na. We got that fire. Yeah. We got that fire. Na 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 na. Yeah. We got that fire.
I listened to both records back to back in the last couple of days just to prep myself. Do you think you guys were ahead of your time? I have an answer to that, but do you think you were ahead of your time?
I think so. I mean, I think the reason why what I'm doing now works is because music had 6 years to catch up. Christian music had 6 years to catch up. That's how long we were in the band. And I personally feel like it was really good. You know, now looking back on it from where I am now, obviously I can see where we were young and things were raw and we needed improvement. But I'm proud of the work that we did together.
Great produced records, great song content. And I am in agreement with you, brother, ahead of your time.
That's amazing. Thank you.
Do you still talk to those guys?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Talk to them fairly often.
As I'm looking through your music, I noticed collaborations popping up a lot. You like to work with other people?
Everything's better when we do it together. I love collaboration. I think that we in the faith music space have not capitalized on collaborative power. And I think some people are catching up. But if you watch the trends of pop music, a lot of new artists in this period of music are being broken by associations and the strength of associations and collaborations. You know, when Halsey showed up on a Justin Bieber record, everyone's like, who in the world is Halsey? And now most people in the world know who she is. There were so many features that led up to having that platform. And I've been fortunate enough to sing with people that I have genuine relationships with and truly love what they do. And it's not been manufactured in an office somewhere. It's been created through relationship, which has been really dope.
I'm going to throw out a couple names and you just give me a little snapshot of what it was like working with them. Is that cool?
Mm-hmm.
Rascal Flatts.
Man, we talked about 90s country, right? So I remember sitting in my friend's dad's truck the first time I listened to Praying for Daylight, Waiting for That Morning Sun, so I could act like my whole life ain't going wrong. Baby, come back to me. I swear I'll make it right. Don't make me spend another lonely night praying for daylight. I mean, come on. Ridiculous. And, you know, sometimes you've heard people say, I'm so disappointed that I met someone I looked up to, because the picture I had of them in my mind was so much better than the person that I just experienced. And I have to say that is absolutely not true with Gary and Jodon and Jay. They are class acts. And I have to tell you, when I was on the Chris Tomlin tour, the first night was the night in Nashville for Good Friday, first night of the Worship Night in America tour. And Chris texts me the night before and he's like, hey, can you sing the third verse on How Great Thou Art? So I listened to it. Next day, we go in to the arena and I go up on stage. Chris is up there. There's a piano up there. And he's like, we're going through it. Let's just run through it. Cool. He's like, hey, man, just remember, you're going to have the guys up here. What guys? Gary and Jodon, the Rascal Flatts guys. Rascal Flatts is singing this song with us. Yeah, he's singing verse two. Okay, so then I go into like meltdown mode. So I walk off the stage. Rascal Flatts comes in. I'm watching from the stands. They're practicing their songs. God bless the broken road. Praise God. So I come back in and I walk up on stage and Gary comes up to me and he goes, Torn Wells. He's like, Jay, this is the dude that sings Hills and Valleys, Hills. And I'm standing there like, bro, you're singing my song. You know who I am? From that point, I mean, that just shows you what kind of dudes they are. And then Gary gave me his number, was sending me voice memos of him singing Fully Known and Loved by You in all of his riffs. So, I mean, they've just been incredible. They played on it. They sang on it. It was great.
Another name, Kirk Franklin.
Here's the thing. I got a crazy story with Kirk, too. I met Kirk Franklin in 2012 at the Grammys. Fast forward to the Dove Awards 3 years ago, walking through the back hallway, Kirk walks past me and he stops and he looks at me and he goes, Hills and Valleys. And I said, yes, sir. Like, first name Hills, last name Valleys, whatever you want. He's like, love that song, brother. Man, I love that song. So, you know, we get a picture. Fast forward 2 years. I'm on tour with Danny Gokey. We are writing the song Millionaire.
Come on. Mind was about to lose my mind, but God came right on time. He made a way out of my way. Yeah. And I thought it was the end, but he stepped in again and made
and the hook, if I had a dollar for every time they say God wasn't gonna come through, I'd be a millionaire. I'm like, dude, that's Kirk Franklin. We have to have Kirk Franklin singing that hook. So they're like, yeah, cool. So I try working through my manager. I try working through RCAI, which is a part of the label that I'm on. They're making connections, but nothing's really connecting. Like, has he heard the song? Has he not heard the song? I don't know what's happening. 4 months go by. I'm in Atlanta. I'm leading worship at a women's event for Shelly Giglio. And Louis Giglio takes me out to dinner afterwards with a couple other people. On the way over there, he's asking me about what's happening in my life. Well, I'm working on an album. I've got some amazing features. I've got Rascal Flatts. I've got Jen Johnson. And I'm really trying to get Kirk Franklin on this song. Oh, dude, that'd be awesome. You know, he's speaking life into me. We go into the restaurant and sit down. 15 minutes later, Kirk Franklin walks into the restaurant. He walks past my table. And as he's walking past, I say, Kirk. And he looks over at me and he does a double take and he goes, Hills and Valleys. And Louie looks at me. The other guys were there with looks at me like, you've got to be kidding me. We were just talking about this. Now, Kirk and I both live in Texas. Kirk lives in Dallas. We're in Atlanta, bro. And I get up from the table and he goes, bro, Torin, I'm doing that song, man. I'm doing that song. I love that song. We're going to make it happen. You come to the studio in Dallas, we'll make it happen. And so he and Louis talk for a little bit, sit back down, and Louis looks over at me and he says, God wanted that to happen.
I would encourage anyone listening to go listen to Citizen of Heaven album. Easily one of the best records of this year. And that song's amazing. And as we're talking, didn't that video just drop yesterday?
Just dropped, bro. 100 million views. Just kidding.
I tried to look for the edits, and I think I saw one, but it is so fun, this one shot. Oh,
it is one shot. That the ambition was one shot, but there was, I'll give you a little tidbit behind the scenes on that. They sent over the one shot that was truly the one shot, and it was good. But I said, send me the best three. And I saw the one that we landed on, and I was like, this is way better. The only thing is, at the very, very end, Kirk does a spin move, and on the best take, he doesn't get all the way around on the spin move. So he kind of falls on the couch, which I thought was endearing, you know, but they wanted to have like the good face to camera ending. So we did do some trickery in there that you can notice if you look very, very closely. It took me 3 times to see it.
I watched it twice and I'm like, is it in the Hummer? Is it, there's, you know, it's, but it's a great song. It's a great video.
On the mountains, I will bow my life to the one who sent me there. In the valley, I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on the mountain, I didn't get there on my own. When I'm walking down the valley, I know I am not alone. You're God of the
As an African American, what's your treatment been like in our industry, if you're being honest?
Man, it's nuanced. It's nuanced. I can say overall, my treatment in this industry has been amazing. And I can honestly say that. It has not been without challenges. And I think it is not just the singular challenge of race. I think the challenge has been tradition and what we have seen to become best practices. And perhaps they're not best practices if we want to have a future industry. So, you know, I think that I'm dealing with a lot of different things. Like, I know that there were conversations on certain forums about how high my voice is and would we really let effeminate male voices, quote unquote, be on our radio spaces. So there's been that challenge, the shift from, you know, now we got Jeremy Camp singing in falsetto. Thank God. I texted Jeremy. I said, thank you so much for singing in falsetto, because you have now created a lane that I can run in. But there have been unique challenges. And I think just how we have partitioned genres and sounds has been very difficult to navigate from a creative standpoint and just from a who I am standpoint. I grew up listening to a lot of different music, but my church music was heavily influenced by Black gospel, and my voice was greatly influenced by gospel and R&B and all of that. So there have been challenges. What I feel like though is I somehow snuck in. God got me in somehow, but I wonder how many other Black voices there are that would be enjoyed and whose music and expression would be welcomed and loved by a CCM audience if we were able to broaden the lane a little bit and not rely so much on numbers, but to rely more on heart and need.
What could I be doing better in our industry?
I love the intent of that question. I don't need to be super served. Black artists don't need to be super served. And I understand what you're saying with that, and I appreciate it. But it's just having a seat at the table, having the opportunity to see what happens. There are a lot of factors that go into why certain artists don't stick around. But I wonder, like, where's Jasmine Murray? You know, had a huge song and then started playing festivals and stuff. And, you know, I don't know where her voice is. And there are many like that. Where's Anthony Evans? One of the best singers of our generation, who had songs coming out when I was young. Why couldn't Israel Houghton find a lane on Christian radio when he was being sung by Black and white audiences all over the world? You know, I just think there has to be a look at it. And I know that here's the other side for me. I know the unique struggle within the mind of a Christian radio programmer, because you don't have the Christian rock station. You don't have the Christian hip hop station. You don't have the Christian country station. You don't have the Christian adult contemporary station. You don't have the Christian top 40 station. Somehow the programmer is supposed to take all of the genres, subgenres of Christian music, and somehow create a space in their programming with only so many hours in a day. So I think that there is a real unique challenge, but I think for you, you know, you already do this and you have a heart for this in your programming, but finding those spaces where you can introduce different artists. And I mean, one thing that we're not even talking about right now is the Latin space, which most people in the world speak either English or Spanish. So how do we serve that community? I think those are all great questions, and just being willing to ask them to me and to take a step back for a second and look, not with the critical spirit, but with a critical eye on what we're doing and what we're promoting and what we're creating is something to celebrate.
Thank you for going there. Appreciate you.
Of course.
One of my absolute favorite memories of your career, and you even let my wife and I in on it, was opening up for Lionel Richie.
Mm-hmm.
That was so, so, so great. Not only because it was a great show by Lionel Richie, but just watching you do your thing. Do you look back on that season with fond memories?
Absolutely. The best. I mean, that's one of the best things I've ever done in my entire life. And it was hard and grueling, and there were, trust me, many obstacles that were involved in it. But for those 20 minutes that we were on stage and the times we got to hang with their bands and the moments we got to spend with Lionel, priceless. And he stayed connected. That's been what is so cool. He posted about the Citizen of Heaven album. We've commented in the Instagram comments to each other. So it's been really, really dope.
Did he say anything to you on that tour that resonated with you? Any wisdom about the industry or maneuvering career?
He did encourage me to keep being myself, you know, to keep being myself and to not worry when people don't understand what I'm doing or why I'm doing it, but to be true. And, you know, I don't know the depth of his faith or where he would really place himself. He did reference his grandmother and his parents and their faith, but he didn't really connect himself directly to Jesus in any way in our conversations. But, you know, for me, I receive that as keep being who God has called me to be, who he's uniquely gifted me to be. I could be true to myself and not be who God's called me to be. I got to be true to who God has called me to be. So yeah, those type of insights. But really the true treasure of that tour outside of ministry, okay, because great ministry happened on the tour. But for me, one of the greatest treasures was being able to watch him 22 times in a row do what he does. You know, a world-class talent that has endured, you know, decades to be relevant. I learned so much observing.
We've come to the final question. Thank you so much for your minutes. I cherish the friendship you allow me to have with you. The old white guy in South Bend is always cheering for you along the way. Final
Thank
question.
Thank you so much, man.
It's the end of the world, and you're allowed to have what's on the table in front of you before your end comes to pass. Here are your three choices. Dasani, Aquafina.
Oh, my gosh.
Or Topo Chico with a little bit of lime.
Bro, you already know it's that Topo Chico with the lime juice. Absolutely. And if there's anybody in the kitchen that could bring me some chips and salsa, I would die a happy man.
Topo Chico.
Topo Chico, my brother. Dude, I mean, it's so good. You know what I found out? They actually make Topo Chico with lime in it already.
In your state, I believe.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
Yes, they do.
So you can drink it right from the vine.
Yeah. Now some people think, oh my goodness, are they talking about alcohol right now? I just don't, you know. So for all of you out there, Topo Chico is mineral water with carbonation.
The best mineral water with carbonation, I've been told.
It's because it's in the glass bottle. That's a big part. If you pour it into an actual cup, it loses some of the zeal. But just from the glass bottle, you squeeze the lime in there like you're doing something you're not supposed to. And then you just enjoy. It's incredible.
Follow-up question. Is it on your rider?
It is not on my rider. I try to not be like that. The stuff that's on my rider are the things my band likes. I want to keep my band happy.
I'm saying it to your face. It's an amazing, amazing record that I still go back to and enjoy every moment of it. It's relevant. It sounds right now. I'm not afraid to turn that bad boy up and bust out my 50-year-old moves. And I can't wait to hear what's next too, my friend.
Man, thank you so much. Thanks for the time. And thank you for finally letting me on. I had to beg you to do this show. So thank you.
Yeah, you thought you jumped through hoops for Lionel Richie. What I had to get through to get you on with me are hoops.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Hoops.
Just text me next time.
You've been listening to What Else with Corey Mann, part of the Studio DNA Podcast Network. Production elements and voiceovers by audiblegenesis.com. Find complete podcast tools and production at audiblegenesis.com. Find this podcast and older episodes on Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Leave a comment or review, tell a friend, and thank you for listening.
Everybody get out of here! There's a lobster loose! Oh, holy cow, he's loose!
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.